We are back, and we are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. Jeff, we got to get right to it. There's plenty to go over, but just give me one or two words on your reaction to the Vikings game. I just want to hear what you're thinking.
Predictable. I mean, hey, and positive, at least they finally figured out their kicking game.
That's true. Hey, that's right. There's a plus to come out of it. And
they're in first place.
They're first place. Yeah, everybody lost. All right. Now I got to ask you. You had mentioned this to me, and I looked at the photo. Oh, my God. AOC goes to the Met Gala, where you pointed out tickets go for up to $30,000.
Well, the minimum ticket is $30,000.
Oh, pardon me. The minimum is $30,000. That's in the nosebleeds. Yeah. But she wore a dress in red, huge letters, tax the rich. You're not going to, I mean, everyone there has to be rich to go. For her to do that and make a statement like that, it's, well, some of them are probably applauding it. Not many, though, because none of these rich people want to give up their money. So it's just.
Well, they don't. They don't. They have tax planners and lawyers and accountants, and they figure out whenever they yell about taxing the rich. The rich don't pay those taxes. They figure out ways to avoid them.
But it's just the woman. I mean, these are the people that have been supporting her. I would think she ticked a few of them off, but maybe that remains to be seen. I just taxed the rich. And it looked like somebody, she took like a giant paintbrush and put it on with red. I'm sure
like
it was.
Like I told you off the air, it's the font from the Chick-fil-A Eat More Chicken ads.
It's unbelievable. This woman is really, boy, is she out there. Hey, when is she old enough to be the House Speaker? That's what I want to know. When that happens, because she knows she's going to get her little crew pushing her to be the Speaker of the House. She's still too young, though, right?
She's the best thing. She's the best. Yeah, she's very young. So she's the best thing for Republican fundraising. And, you know, this is not the party. The Democrats are not the party of FDR and Harry Truman and JFK anymore. They are the party of the elitists. They are not. They don't represent working class stiffs.
No
evidence. You know, like this, you know, is proof of that.
And by the way, when did George W. Bush become a Democrat?
Some would argue that he's been one all the time. I mean, he was not. You know, he's still, there was always the Bush wing was always more of the blue blood establishment wing of the Republican Party. But he certainly cemented that his place in that social group with the Clintons and the Obamas on Saturday at Shanksville with his speech when he compared. I mean, you would expect a guy who stood at the rubble of 9/11 after 3,000 people had been killed, in a terrorist attack. That he would appreciate the difference between that and a protest that got out of hand at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. But apparently that's his membership dues this year, is to equate the two so they can bash on Trump, who meanwhile was meeting with police and firefighters in New York, didn't go for the photo ops at the crash sites. But I don't understand the Bushes. You know, he did a lot of damage to the party. He did a lot of damage to this country with his two wars. He's got to take shots at Trump to try to rehabilitate his own image. It's pretty sad and pathetic to watch.
And what was really sad and pathetic is that the president of the United States, Joe Biden, did not speak on the 20th anniversary. His people probably were afraid to put him out there. That's what you're guessing, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, his off-the-cuff remarks were insulting to the you know, the victims of 9/11, you know, I think it was at Shanksville or wherever he was. And he was talking about how we're not going to go after Al Qaeda any place. They, you know, he had made some glib remark about Al Qaeda and, he's still continuing to try to defend his sloppy withdrawal from Afghanistan, which nobody's saying he shouldn't have withdrawn from Afghanistan. It was a morass. What we're criticizing is the clumsy way in which it was done. But yeah, he's yelling, he's pulling his mask down and yelling at Ground Zero. Maybe he was yelling for ice cream. I don't know, because, you know, I saw a story last week that the Alzheimer's Association recommends ice cream for Alzheimer's and dementia patients. It says it keeps them happier than Prozac. So now we know why he's always got his face full, shoved into ice cream. Maybe they put his pills in there. I don't know.
So basically his handlers are telling him, hey, Joe, go get some ice cream. Yeah, good photo op. Get some ice cream. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's a good excuse to eat ice cream, I guess. That one is, wow. That I saw that or mention of it the other day, and it's just, you know, these things, if, let's say, not even a decade ago, if you wrote these things and said these things, no one would believe them. You know, if you put them in a movie.
No.
But he is the caricature of what a loopy president would be. He is just, he's so out there. Anyway,
yeah, and he's just unaware. The photo he took in Shanksville with the little girls wearing the Trump hats and the Trump shirts.
Nobody told him about
that. He makes
that.
It too easy. He makes it too easy.
Yes, he does. Well, I'll tell you what's not easy. Governor Walz's climb to be reelected. He's getting hammered in many polls.
Yeah. There's a new poll. He's got about his disapproval rating was 48%. 44% approval or favorability, I think it was. I think, it was 48-44 against him. And then, do you approve of the job he's doing? Was 50-50, which is not really great numbers going into, his reelection year, especially when he was at supposedly 84% last year. Where he's got a real problem. It's not so much. I mean, he's going to lose more in outstate Minnesota because of his COVID lockdown policies. But it's this, you know, the line three stuff is going to hurt him with his left, with some of his base. The coming out against the Minneapolis charter amendment is going to come, you know, and I agree with his positions on both those. But his loony base of his party is against those things. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a primary challenge. And I also wouldn't be surprised if you get like the Green Party mounting a credible candidate. And if the Green Party has a good candidate, if I'm a Republican candidate, I'm insisting that they're in the debates. For as bad of a job he's done, Bob, I still think in a head-to-head competition, the Republican still loses against him. They've got to get a third party in there to peel off his left flank.
That's a great point. Yeah, absolutely they do. And see, the thing where he, and I said this on yesterday's show, I don't think he's a bad person, but he's a bad governor. And what he did by basically going to lockstep with Cuomo and governors in the East, and there's other parts of the country too, the one in Michigan, to put COVID-19 positive people, elderly people, back into nursing homes, our most vulnerable population, was a reprehensible act. And how do you not know that you're going to spread it by doing that? That is, to me, right. I can never forgive that, and I would never vote for him because of that.
He's not a leader. He's a follower. He's proven still acts that. like he's a member of a body that has, you know, 435 members.
Absolutely. Jeff, as always, greatly appreciate it. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. The BS Show will take a quick break, and we'll be right back with an excerpt from a new show that I'm co-hosting called Purple Pulpit. Be right back.